Lord God, use our lives to touch the world with your love. Stir us by your Spirit to be neighbor to those in need, serving them with willing hearts. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us be seated for the reading.
A reading from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law. Because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord. Let us pray responsively, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
But now, when I look to you, you put to shame the shame, but let the treacherous be disappointed.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble in doing right, and teaches his way to the
Lord. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Remember the radio show, the television show, The Lone Ranger? At the end of every episode, as the Lone Ranger went off on his trusty steed, Silver, Tonto was always left to explain the answer to the question, who was that masked man? That line kept running through my head yesterday as I was working on this sermon. Who is my neighbor? And I kept thinking, who was that masked man? Jesus tells this great story, one of the most familiar parables in the Bible. And it's a parable that is for us to enter into, to open our hearts and to learn something new. The story takes us out to the Jericho Road. This is about a 17-mile stretch from Jerusalem to Jericho, through deserts, through rocky hill country. A very barren, isolated road, a place for bandits and thugs to hide out. Lots of places, behind the bushes, behind the rocks, for thieves to hide. And travelers knew that they were just asking for trouble when they were going down this road. I did my graduate work in Boston, and I became very familiar with the public transportation system. But every once in a while, my friend Mary would pull out her little VW bug, and about 5, 6, 7 of us would get into her car and off we would go to some adventure. Well, one night we were coming home from a concert and we had to take the car because it would be too late to take the tea. So we were in the car driving and got very lost. And it was an adventure. We were having a good time until we rounded a corner and stopped because there was a group of young men standing in the roadway. And they decided that they weren't going to let us pass. And we knew we were in the wrong place. And I don't know where the policeman came from, but all of a sudden there was this mounted police on his horse, and he said, "Follow me." And he led us out about three blocks to the freeway entrance ramp. And as we passed him by, he said, "Get a map. You don't belong in this neighborhood. You are asking for trouble." We could expect to find trouble there, just like travelers could expect to find trouble on that road from Jericho to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem to Jericho. So this traveler gets robbed and gets beaten up. You could expect that to happen. This unnamed man is stripped of his clothing and left half dead. Now, if he's stripped of his clothing, he's lost his identification. We don't know who he is. We can't tell by looking at him if he's a neighbor or not. Does he belong to our social standing? Is he in our class? Is he our kind of person or not? We don't know because he has been stripped of his clothing. And he's left for dead. How should we treat this person that we don't know? When we listen to this parable, we stand beside the Samaritan and we wonder, would we be like him? Would we act in the same way? Would we stop and help a stranger? Would we reach out to a wounded enemy? After all, this is a dangerous place. The robbers might be behind that bush right there, behind that rock. They might be waiting for their next victim. This could be a plot. This guy could be a fake, you know, setting up a scene, hoping that someone would stop. Like we hear in the newspaper about those car accidents that are fake. So you stop to help and you get, you end up being the victim. Did the Samaritan think about that before he stopped to help? How much courage did it take for the Samaritan to stop and offer his help? Maybe when you listen to this parable, you find yourself relating more to the Levite or to the priest. You know, they were just on that road by chance. They were simply returning home, maybe. Maybe just making their regular commute. They had been in Jerusalem for their temple duties. Now they're going home just along the way. The story doesn't go into any detail to tell us why they didn't stop, why they passed by that stranger. Maybe they were afraid for their own safety. The quicker you get out of this neighborhood, the better. Maybe they were concerned about ritual purity. There were a lot of laws. And that guy looked dead. And there were laws. Levites and priests couldn't touch dead people except in certain circumstances. So they were just keeping the law. When we hear this story, we usually identify ourselves with either the good Samaritan who stops and does something, or the bad Levite or priest who just passed by on the other side of the road. We can stop, or we can keep walking. We can do something, or we can ignore the needs of the wounded. We can feel proud of our response, or we can feel ashamed that we didn't do a thing. We can identify with either the good Samaritan or with the bad Levite and priest. And no matter how we identify, we have a choice. We make a choice of whether to stop or not to stop. We decide what to do. But take another look at this parable. There are other people, other characters in the story who have no options, who have no choices, who have no decisions that they can make, no voice. We usually ignore these characters, but maybe these are the very people that God wants us to see. Maybe these are the very characters that Jesus wants us to go and do likewise. What if God is inviting us to become not just like the Good Samaritan, but maybe the innkeeper, or maybe the wounded person in the ditch? Maybe Jesus wants us to identify with the guy in the ditch. What if God is trying to teach us that mercy comes when we are so weak that we can no longer resist? What if God wants us to know that grace and love is poured out for us when we have no choice but to accept it? What if God is challenging us to be so open, so weak, as to be saved by someone else? What if God is saying to us, let go and let God? Maybe Jesus wants us to identify with the innkeeper. What if God is challenging us to allow ourselves to be used as an instrument of God's mercy, even when we don't understand all of the circumstances? What if God is asking us to accept something on the word of a stranger? What if God is inviting us to extend hospitality even to those we may not consider a neighbor? This is a great parable. It can take us deeper and deeper with each reading. It invites us to look again and to be surprised at some of the lessons that we might learn here. Now, if Jesus was just trying to teach us that we should do acts of mercy to those in need, he would have talked about one man passing by, another man passing by, and then a third man stopping to help. He wouldn't have needed to go into detail about a priest and a Levite and a Samaritan. That wouldn't have been necessary if the point was only do good to those in need. If Jesus was just trying to teach us not to get so caught up in the law, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees sometimes got so focused on keeping the law that they forgot the bigger picture. Maybe this story was, if this story was just about Jesus trying to get some jibes in at the priest and the Levite, he would have told the story in a way that the priest, then the Levite, and then an ordinary person, you know, an ordinary Jew in contrast to the clerics, that would have been a stronger point. If Jesus was just trying to tell us that we should love our enemies, he would have said that the man in the ditch was a Samaritan, and the person that stopped and helped was a caring, loving Israelite. Maybe Jesus wants us to learn something more. Maybe Jesus wants us to learn something about mercy from people who are different from us. Maybe Jesus wants us to identify with the man in the ditch, the one who receives the outpouring of mercy and care. When we listen to this parable and identify with the Good Samaritan, we learn to go and do likewise. We learn to be a good neighbor to all of God's people. We learn to help those in need, especially those who don't have help from anywhere else, especially those who have fallen through the cracks. This is a good lesson. This is a wonderful lesson for us to learn in this parable about the Good Samaritan, that we should care for our neighbors. When we listen to this parable and identify with the innkeeper, we learn to go and do likewise. We learn to take care of those who are brought to us. On no more than a word of a stranger, the innkeeper extends hospitality and care. We are the innkeepers whom Jesus has entrusted with the care of those who he has drawn in to that circle of care, into that sanctuary that is the church. We are the innkeepers that make a promise in our baptism to care for one another. It is our baptismal connection. It's our commitment to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We learn that lesson when we identify with the innkeeper. When we listen to this parable and identify with the man in the ditch, we learn to go and do likewise. We learn to be surprised at the mercy of God, that is the kingdom of God. We learn that God's mercy comes to those who have no right to expect it, to those who cannot resist it when it comes. Mercy always comes from the point that you don't expect, from a point that you do not and cannot expect. We are the wounded healers in the ditch. We're the people that have been wounded and have been saved by Jesus Christ. We are the people in the ditch who have been saved by the mercy, the outpouring of God's love. We have been saved by Jesus Christ, who is the life saver. And because we are the people in the ditch, we can be life savers to other people. Go and do likewise. Go and be a good Samaritan. Love your neighbors. Go and be an innkeeper. Extend hospitality to those Jesus has given into your care. Go and be the person in the ditch, knowing yourself as a person who has needed mercy, a person who has been lost and now is saved. Go and do likewise. Amen.